Okay, cool. Let's write around that. Let's play around that. I mean, what do you
Yeah,
think,
and I
Claire?
think the change also in this album from previous albums is that this one was a lot more collaborative in the process of writing and like basically every step of the way. So we did a residency in Banff,
Oh
Alberta,
my God.
just before recording the album, and or at least one of the two sessions where we recorded the album, and we wrote a bunch of new music together there over the 3 weeks. And then like, made all of these intricate arrangements, and it really felt like this, we had this precious time together that we'd never had, this like concentrated time, and
Yes.
we were kind of able to progress our sound over that, over those weeks, and then just hit the studio right away when we got back. So that shaped the sound of this album a lot, I think, that experience.
I have a segue question to that, because I literally kind of had a question about like how long it took to put this piece together. So what was the journey like? You talked a little bit about being at in Banff and then being able to be together to kind of like do that concentrated work. But what has like how long did it take to put this album together? Has the journey been smooth the whole ride?
Yeah, I mean, it actually came together fairly quickly as albums go of this scale, I guess, because it really was a lot of work, a lot of production. We had two recording sessions about 6 months a apart,
Okay.
and then we mixed and like crazy for a few months. We did a lot of remote mixing sessions because we don't all live in the same city. And then mastered, and then it was actually all ready to go about a year ago, and
Okay.
we just had to wait for the right timing for labels and stuff for to be able to release it. But to actually put together the record, it was only about a year, I think.
Okay, right on. I love to ask that question. I feel that some of our listeners are new artists, they might not have put together an album as of yet. So I feel like it's so interesting to sort of hear how a project can come to be and what that can look like. So I appreciate that. My next question is, it's a personal question because one of my favorite tracks off of the album is called Dream Cake. And I am curious if someone would like to share, like, what was the vision behind that piece?
Well, I Ethan, am the composer of Dream Cake.
Okay.
I want to ask a follow-up question to you, Nicole.
Yeah.
What do you like about Dream Cake?
It was one of the things that it just felt like. The type of music that I listened to, like I was just drawn to it. I was able to vibe to it. Like I was sitting at my chair, at my desk and stuff like that. I was just able to vibe to it. So it gave me a lot of the music that I listen to. Movement is part of what kind of gets me excited because I love to dance. I love to sort of move. And that's the energy that I got from that piece. So, yeah.
That piece is sort of an outlier on the album, I would say. So it's
Okay, that's so interesting. Oh my gosh. Okay.
most sort of like humorous one. It's the most straight ahead. It's almost got not like folk influences in a way that many of the tracks don't. I wrote that with two things in mind. One was I had been listening to this Bad Plus album a lot called Suspicious Activity, and there's a tune on that album called Lost of Love. And in
Okay.
Lost of Love, the song sounds like every time it comes back to the beginning, it sounds like it changed keys. Like it sounds like there's
Modulation.
like a modulation, like extra energy has happened, but it doesn't, It's like, how did they do that? So I was trying to write a song that when it comes back, it feels like something new happens, even if it's just repeating.
Right.
So that it's sort of there's this built-in energy lift,
Right.
and but focusing on melody a lot and focusing on the simpler chord changes and accepting the, there's sort of like speed up and slow downs in the song, and
Yeah.
it's much. Like there's as soon as you think there's consistency, it goes away. And I want it to be built into the song the entire way through, you know, because oftentimes in jazz, I'll give you like a more classic example is like in 50s or 60s jazz, there are hits in a song where like you play the head and along with the melody, like the rhythm section does a hit or something. But then when the solos come, those go away and everybody's burning, you know. But I like for those hits to be built into the music as well. So this song was a nice challenge. Like, hey, can we keep all the same material and be musical with it in our improvisation? And the guitar solo on that is played by David, our guitarist, and that's sort of a feature track for him as well.
Awesome. Now I'm going to turn the question kind of back to you three. Do either of you have a fave track on this album?
Oof. A couple. It's hard to
Yeah.
choose. I like the flow of it. That's part of why I am, and I think why we're proud of this record. But for me, the three that I find myself listening to a lot are If You See This, It's a Sign. I really like what Claire came up with for that track. I feel like it goes a lot of different places, and it shows it has this mechanistic drum groove. Contrast between that and this very lyrical melody. And I love that in music, to hear that different universes that are orbiting each other in their own kind of shape. That one sticks out to me.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Anyone else want to share?
I think one of my favorites is Bare Awareness, which is one that Ethan wrote. It has like these, it's kind of this flowing melody that's never really in time. It never goes into a groove, but it's like super beautiful, and it's like a whole universe of sound, and it also allows me to play a bit freely, which I really like, and has some kind of influences from other more experimental genres that I really like.
Awesome.
And I would be remiss to, for my favorite track not to be one of John.
But
John wrote a super awesome song called Was to Be, which is just a master class in epicness. I love when things are epic.
I love that.
Yeah, Was to Be is beautiful. It's influenced by Aristotle. Is that right? Oh, this guy yesterday was asking about it, and he's like, "That's an Aristotle quote, right?" And John was like, "Yes, I fancy myself a philosopher." Nice to hear that. But yeah, no, there are a lot of favorites. Love that one.
Awesome. Now my next question. Okay, so are you going to be doing any live shows upcoming? Is there any way that especially like folks in Montreal can come and check you out, especially this album?
Yes, we're playing this Thursday
Oh, look at life.
an album launch concert at Sauterania. So what date is that? Thursday, May 21st. That's right.
21st, that's right. And look, this is airing on Wednesday, May 20th. So look at the timing of it all. I will include a link to for tickets in the show notes, just in case for people who are in the area. You know, you can listen to CJSF online, so you never know. So I will definitely do that. And I am curious as to how are there other ways that we could connect with the band?
Yes. Well, we have some shows upcoming at a couple festivals in Canada. We're playing Ottawa Jazz Festival June 24th. We're
Awesome.
playing at Guelph Jazz Festival September
12th.
12th. September 12th.
Awesome.
Booking more stuff. Stay in touch. Sure. We do have Instagram. If you look up Plastic Waistband on Instagram, on Facebook.
Awesome.
And our
Where
Bandcamp
else?
too is a good place to find our music.
Hey.
A lot of our other records too, which show sort of will show the progression of the band.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And again, listeners, I will be putting ways to connect with the band online. So from Instagram, you guys have a website as well. So I'll include that link too. And then for the Facebook girlies and gals and guys who who like to hang out there, I will definitely include that information as well, because especially during summer season, we basically as Canadians travel from coast to coast, and we love to check out festivals all over the place. So there's an opportunity for us folks on the West Coast to see you live. So I will definitely put all those in details and all of that. Before I sign off with you, is there anything that we might not have chatted about that you want to share?
Talk about the Spotify thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk about the Spotify thing.
Yes, please bring it.
Oftentimes people say, "Oh, where can I find your band? Okay, cool. I'll look you up." And then they search, most, I think Spotify is the most popular streaming site. We decided not to put Trash Island on Spotify, and we had a conversation with the label, Proto Material, about it, and Elastic Records is the other label in collaboration, and they were super supportive. We have found that there are a couple of things. Number one is, if it's not known to our listeners here, Spotify's model has become more and more exploitative of artists over the years, and we decided, despite the sacrifice that it takes to, take our music away from the world's most popular streaming service, it's best to put our money where our mouth is. Literally, our money. Not that people give us much of it, but because it is a risk, you
Absolutely.
risk not reaching certain listeners. So I encourage anybody who wants to find our music to, in fact, sign up for a different streaming service if you can. Or better yet, buy the album on Bandcamp. It's the
That's
best way to
right.
directly support artists.
Absolutely.
So, we appreciate
Yes. No,
it.
that's absolutely. That's it's so good to share that information because this is community radio, and as a programmer, I love to share how can listeners get connected to an artist, band, etc. So I love the fact that you put that out there. I did notice that one of the streaming, in addition to Bandcamp, that one of the other streaming platforms that you use is YouTube Music. Is that still correct?
Yeah, we're still on Apple Music and Tidal and
Awesome.
yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. So I will, again, like I'll include that in the show notes just because it makes it, easy for people to see how they can connect with you all in one spot. So I'm really excited. I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to listen to the full album. Everybody, it is really, really fantastic. It is a great, like I was working and listening and it just took me on a lovely journey, so I do appreciate your work. I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and I want to thank all of the listeners for listening to our conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, the Plastic Waistband. I appreciate you.
Thank you so
Appreciate you
much.
too. Thank you. Thanks.
And Trash Island is the latest record from the Plastic Waistband. If you're in Montreal, you can still get tickets for their album release party, which is happening tomorrow, Thursday, May 21st. I'll ensure that I include a link for that show in the show notes today, as well as all the other ways that you can connect with the band, including a link to YouTube Music to stream their album. Right now, I am going to play my fave track off of their latest album, Trash Island, and let's take a listen to Dream Cake.
Thank you.
Are you a fan of industrial and have been trying to find smaller artists? Have you only heard of Nine Inch Nails and are looking to get further into the genre? Maybe you're like that guy I met in my lecture who hadn't even heard of Linkin Park. No matter where you're coming from, Wire & Nerve is the show for you. 1 hour of all kinds of industrial, from Throbbing Gristle to Godflesh to Frontline Assembly and more. Tune in Mondays 7 to 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
Looking for a community who will support you on your academic journey? The Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all three SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. I am back. To round out the show, I can't believe that we are already nearing the end. I just want to quickly share about an event that I went to last night. It was hosted by SFU's Institute of Black and Afro Diaspora Research and Engagement in collaboration with Building Bridges with Rwanda and Remember Rwanda 25-Year Legacy Project. The event took place at the SFU Siegel Building in downtown Vancouver, starting off with a short film presentation that was by the Remember Rwanda 25-Year Legacy Project, and it highlighted Rwanda's post-genocide journey toward healing and traditional justice. There were a couple of panels that took place that evening. There was a really, really great networking reception. Like, I felt very, like, community when I was there, and there was a delicious dinner. I cannot complain. The food was incredible. So happy to have been able to be nourished as well. As the African Union redefines justice, Rwanda's experience challenges how the world understands healing and transitional justice. And transitional justice includes a range of measures to address the legacies of historical and contemporary mass atrocities. This symposium and dialogue discuss Rwanda's transitional justice experience in the aftermath of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. I learned that after the genocide, Rwandans went within and connected to culture, accountability, which helped with forgiveness. Their culture actually acts as a meeting place of truth and justice, where they share honestly with each other. They take accountability for the atrocities of what happened as a ways to release their trauma. Because of that, their society has really rebuilt to a very balanced society 30 years later. So to learn more about transitional justice, I am going to include a link to a 2009 SFU thesis paper called Reconciliation in Post-Genocide Rwanda, The Transitional Justice Paradox. And that is written by Emily Kent. Now, next up, we have Democracy Now! But before I head out, we are going to take a listen to another live track from the Plastic Waste Band, and this track is called Anything But You.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.